Well, welcome back. We're going to be in God's Word now, continuing our worship as Graham comes to speak to us, and we get to find out what all this is about as well, which I am very curious about. So if you've got your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, and Abby's going to read that for us.
Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
Great. Well, let me add my welcome. It's great to be together. If you don't know me, my name is Graham. I'm one of the leaders here at Grace. Let me pray as we come to God's Word. Let's pray. Father, help us, please. To see your truth and understand the way you've purposed your people, the church. Might we see and delight and want to enter in to all that you have for us in this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel, and that's our main kind of series over this year. But we're having a little short break, just for 3 weeks, thinking about the life of the church as a body, and hence the theme of our service so far. It's an image used in the Bible of the local church, particularly here in 1 Corinthians. And our aim and our hope in doing this is to encourage us with the picture of church life that we see here. It's a picture where there's great diversity, there's difference between us, and yet great unity and togetherness. It is inevitably more of a sort of an in-house little series, because we're thinking about the life of the church. If you're not a Christian believer looking in, as it were, then in a sense what you're getting is a look through the window at what life in the church would be like if you were to trust in Christ yourself and what you would join. And today, I want our focus to be on this idea of unity and diversity. That's going to be the main heading for us, unity and diversity in the body. Well, we're going to have 3 weeks looking through this one passage, so we're not going to do it all now. We're going to take it in different sort of slices. Paul introduces his topic in verse 1, just glance down. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul is picking up in this bit of the letter on things he knows are issues for the church in Corinth. He works through a series of different topics. And one is, what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit at work in you? What does that look like? How does the Spirit show himself in someone's life? And Paul points first to the most fundamental work of the Spirit in convicting us about Jesus. See verse 2, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. I think he's seeing the kind of background of other spirits at work. Verse 3, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads people to see who Jesus is and to say Jesus is Lord, and to understand what that, and that's a very packed phrase, what does that mean, in what way is he Lord, and so on. Now, you cannot say that and understand that and mean that without the Spirit having worked in you. And Paul begins like this, I think, to say, well, if you're someone who says Jesus is Lord, then the Spirit must be at work in you. You can't say it otherwise. Be reassured by that. He's going to go on to the work of the Spirit in gifting, which is what the Corinthians are most concerned about. But this is the touchstone of the Spirit's work first, not a particular gift, but a conviction, seeing Jesus. And anyone who says Jesus is Lord and understands that rightly, well, the Spirit's at work in that person. They've got the Spirit. That's his introduction. But then he moves to the idea of gifts or abilities. So verse 4, different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. That's the way the Spirit reveals himself is given. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, having given that list of gifts that we'll look through in later weeks. And this all leads to the image of the body in verse 12. And I want to start there, as it were, dig into that, because it all revolves around this, and then we'll back up a little bit. And the key thing to see here is the connection between the one and the many. The one and the many. Just have those two words in mind as I read verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but many. He starts with the illustration of a body, verse 12, just as a body, just anybody. Look at me, body. Here we go. I am the living illustration for this bit of the sermon. I have one body. There is one Graham. You don't go, there's a bit of Graham, and there's a bit of Graham over there. There's one of me. I'm here. I'm a unity. But I have many parts. I have fingers. I have eyes, a nose, ears, legs. You say there's lots of bits to Graham's body. That's the illustration. And so he says, a body is one. It is a unity, but it has many parts. But its many parts form one. He goes back and forth between the two. And so within this illustration of the body, the oneness, the unity, the fact that I am one, doesn't submerge or override the differences. For me to be one, I don't just have to be an eye or a finger. You can still talk about me as an entity, a unity. The one doesn't override the many, but the variety, the difference, the many, doesn't undermine or fragment the unity. It's not that if I have lots of bits, we have to be separate. And so in this illustration, you have this combination of one and many. That's the illustration, just as a body. And he then moves to application, end of verse 12. so it is with Christ and with Christ's body. And he explains, verse 13, for, because, we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. The church is pictured as the body of Christ, where each of us who trust in Christ and declare Christ to be Lord, we are the component parts of that body, and the Spirit has worked. When we've trusted in Christ, we're baptized by the Spirit, we receive the Spirit, we're given the Spirit to drink, he says. And the Spirit, he says, forms us. Kind of does, he does some surgery to connect us together, to form us into one body, even though we are many. So just turn over the page. Verse 27, at least over the page in my Bible. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That's his point. Each of you who trust in Christ, you're part of his body. And in the body of Christ, we then have those same dynamics and balance and interplay of one and many. So verse 13, we are baptized to form one body. There's a unity. And we are one, even though we are many and there are differences, whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And Paul picks two of the social divides of the day here, and deep social divides. I mean, you know, Jews and Gentiles, which is Jews and everybody else. They wouldn't socialize. They wouldn't eat together. A Gentile would never go into a Jew's house or vice versa. Well, it's like separate tracks of life. Or slave and free form the two halves of society, kind of top and bottom, if you like. Those who were commanded, who had no real freedom or rights, and the free. Different entities. And we talk about social divisions and differences today. We might talk about, I don't know, middle class and working class, I don't know, in Britain, northern, southern, white British or Asian, African. We might talk about different ethnicities, different nationalities. And you know, those are real differences. But they are nothing compared to these that Paul is talking about. And yet Paul can say, you form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. Verse 14, and so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so again, see what's happening. The unity, the oneness, doesn't override and subsume the differences. It's not that the church is formed by only one sort of person, or that when you come into the church, you're kind of put into some stamping machine and you become one thing, just like everybody else in the church. No, there's variety. There's difference. We're many. And yet, the variety and difference doesn't mean we're not united. We're made one. So, as a body, as a church, we appreciate and we hold together the one and the many, the unity and the diversity. So think about appreciating variety, first of all, the many. We don't want in the church a kind of middle ground mishmash where we all look the same. We don't want people to feel like they have to change to fit in to a church. We don't want a stereotype similarity between us. We want variety and difference. You may have heard it said that when people freeze water, we make ice cubes. When God freezes water, he makes snowflakes. And you could think hail, think snowflakes, run with me. ice cubes, symmetrical, set, identical, snowflakes, everyone different. We don't want a church of ice cubes. I'm not talking about our coolness to each other. You see the point. And so you think how different we are here at Grace, when we have different nationalities and ethnicities and personalities and backgrounds and ages and stages of life and temperaments and skills and interests and so on. We are very different, and that is good. And you and your individuality shouldn't get lost in becoming part of the church. You know, even if there is a kind of majority, people have to become like a majority to fit in. We want difference. We believe in the many. We don't want a body to lose its various parts. That would be like it all becoming an eye. You think of other illustrations, you know, it's like a beautiful tapestry of different colors would just become monochrome. Or a sports team, a football team, where everyone's a striker or something. You know, we want variety. So we don't want anyone to feel, if I can put it this way, apologetic for who they are, or to have to feel like they need a change to fit in. If you do or have felt like that, all I and we can say is we're sorry. We don't want it to be like that. We really don't. I mean, let me be clear. We want everyone to change. We want to become more Christ-like. But we want you to become a more Christ-like version of you and who God's made you, not become like someone else. We appreciate difference. And at the same time, we celebrate being one, profoundly united in Christ, one body. You know, great togetherness so that we identify with each other. You might be very different to me, but I think of there being a strong bond between us, like there's a bond between my hand and my arm. So Paul will say later on in verse 26, how we feel for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If my toe is aching, my whole body knows about it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I see myself as connected with people, even when they're very different, and there's no obvious kind of social connection. In the rest of life, we'd never rub shoulders. No, I mourn with people and I rejoice with people. Because we are one in Christ. We can never say, as it were, to myself, look across the hall or look on the Zoom screen or something and think, well, that person trusts in Christ, they're part of the church, but I've got nothing to do with them. We are one body. So we appreciate and we celebrate the one and the many, the unity and the diversity. And look, I think we do this at Grace. At least, you know, I think we have that in some measure, at least. One of my home group discussion questions here will be simply how we might have that and live that out more and more. So, in the body, diversity and unity in who we are. And then, secondly, unity and diversity in what we do. And so we'll come back to verse 4 to 6. And the keywords this time, rather than one and many, the keywords this time are same and different. Same and different. Follow with me and see those words. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Three times, same, different, same, different. First of all, he says different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, these are the abilities or roles we have in the church that the Spirit enables. We're going to look at them in more detail over the next 2 weeks. But the point for the moment is simply different types of gifts. You're good at this. I'm not. You're better at that. That's great. We have different roles, different parts to play, but the same Spirit distributes them. It's not that if this person has one particular gift, it's like they've got more of the Spirit than the person who has a different gift. It's the same Spirit distributing, sort of handing them out to different people. And then different types of service or ways of serving, but the same Lord, referring to Jesus. Serving Jesus looks different in each of our lives because of the different gifts and abilities we have. We could add it looks different because of a difference in life stage, health, family, work, responsibilities. One person serving Jesus doesn't look the same as someone else serving Jesus, but they're both serving Jesus. And then verse 6, different types of working, but the same God at work, because God is working through us. That's what's happening in the life of the body. It's God at work building the body, bringing glory to the Lord Jesus. But he's doing it by working through people. People are his hands and his lips in doing things and speaking things. And it looks very different. There are lots of different types of ways in which God works, but it's God working in each and every case. Same and different, same and different. So look, so here's the illustration. Some time ago, so if I walk around, the lights come back on. Some time ago, I made this. You see what this is? It's a book stand. Isn't that nice? Nice, yeah, good, thank you, yeah. I like it. It lives on my desk, and my Bible usually sits there. So what did I need? It's very simple, just bits of wood. What did I need to make a book stand? What did I need? I needed a tape measure, because I had to start measuring bits of wood. I needed a pen, or pencil, to then mark where the things went. I needed I needed a saw to cut the wood. Wrong way around. Of course, then you know if you're bodging it, you just hold the wood and you do this, and it slides everywhere. But if you know what you're doing, you have a bench hook, which connects on the bench, and you put the wood there, and you hold it, and then that works well. And clamps it in place. So there's the bench hook. But then you want to get a nice square edge. So you need one of those. Where did I put that one? I've got no idea. There, I think. There we are. What else did I need? Having sawn it, I needed to rough off the edges. So I needed some sandpaper. So let's put that there. And then I needed to, as you can see, some bits are recessed so that they're kind of nice and smooth. So I needed a chisel. And of course, with the chisel, I needed a hammer. Let's put that there. And then I needed to put in little hinges. So I needed to make little holes. There's a little bradawl to make some holes. And I needed a screwdriver to put those screws in, and apparently I've forgotten something, but I don't know what that was. Look, it's pretty obvious, but different tools, and they look different, and using each one is different, and they accomplish different things. Same worker using each of them, putting them to the use they wish, working through them, as it were, all being used to the same goal and end. And so we have same and different gifts, serving God in different ways, God working through us differently, same Spirit, same Lord, same God, building the same church. And so once again, we appreciate both sides, the unity and the diversity, the sameness and the difference. We appreciate differences between us in our gifts. It's good people are not like me. What this church needs is not more Grahams, as it were. It is good some people are great at teaching kids and running the PA or tech or music or welcoming or encouraging or organizing or risk assessments, Fiona, which we've needed a lot of, or teaching or spurring on or whatever it is. We appreciate differences. And we don't start to elevate one form of working or gifting or serving above others. It's not that you kind of go, well, you know what? The saw's my favorite. And actually, what I really need is a saw. Because if all I had was a saw, I couldn't make this. But it's what happens so easily in church life that certain areas of gifting get elevated. We think, well, that's the one that really counts. Well, what that will actually result in is a lopsided church. And that's really what Paul is trying to counter in this chapter and the following ones, where the Corinthians were kind of getting fixated on certain gifts. And he's trying to go, no! Diversity! Difference. God at work in all of them. It's not supposed to look the same. We appreciate different roles and different gifts and service. And then we do appreciate sameness, that the differences are all from the same Spirit. They're all used for Jesus. It's God working. So it's like it's all the same source. We're all pulling together. We're going the same direction. And so what do? I then appreciate other people's gifts. I see someone else serving and I go, God's at work. The Spirit's given them that gift. Isn't that great to see that happening? I can think it's really great, their gift in that. I don't have to be. It's a relief. I mean, as someone trying to lead the church with the other elders, great relief to me to know I don't have to be omnicompetent. It means being glad and owning different areas of ministry in the life of the church. You know, we're not all involved in every area. You might not be involved in international Bible studies or Christians Against Poverty work, teens work, Grace Kids. You know, you might be involved in one of those, but not the others. But you see God working through other people in the others. You see Jesus is being served in the others. And you're part of a body where that's part of the activity of the whole body. And so even if you're not doing it directly, you kind of go, this is our ministry. We have an international work. We do this because we're together. Not, oh, that's what they do. Oh, this is my area. We appreciate the same, the together, the unity. And then we also are confident that we have a part to play. The Spirit gives us, and we serve Jesus, and God works through us. Verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That is, the Spirit shows himself, he works through each one, every individual, for the common good, the good of the whole body. And so we each have a role to play, a contribution to make, all types, all varieties. It means, if I can put it this way again, we are not only, we don't have to be apologetic for who we are, we don't have to be apologetic for what we can do. Whatever my gift is, it's a gift from the Spirit. It's a way of serving Jesus. It's a way God works amongst his people. And so we step up and we step in because we have a part to play to contribute for the good of the body. And that's what we're going to be exploring over the next couple of weeks in more detail. But for now, just see this wonderful picture. unity and diversity, the one and the many, the same and the different. That's the body of Christ, and it's a wonderful thing. Let's have a moment's quiet and we're going to pray. Just a moment's quiet. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Thank you, Father, for your work in combining us, joining us together when we trust in Christ to become part of his body, different, not subsumed, yet united profoundly with each other. I thank you for the work of the Spirit then in giving us different abilities and roles to play. Father, in all this, help us, we ask, help us celebrate and appreciate our unity and our diversity. And as we think about this in our groups this week, as we continue in this little series, might these weeks be a time where we grow in that and grow in living out what it means to be your body together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.